I want to read from Hebrews chapter 9, if you'd like to read there with me. Amen. I don't know. I think I heard y'all say Friday night that you was praying about going on. Have you made a decision about that, Brother Stacy, or going to wait till tonight to see? Okay. Be in prayer for them about that. And then, again, remember the house prayer, Labor Day meeting Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Sister Pat's been good enough to say she would drive the bus during the times where people would want to go. If you'd want to go Friday night or Saturday night or Sunday evening, you could let Sister Pat know. We will try and put a list out in the back to make sure. And we just appreciate everyone. Hebrews 9 and 27, the writer of Hebrews says this, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." I want you to notice that the Bible says that death and judgment are appointments. And I would like to say that they were divine appointments that God set up. And so I would like to preach on canceling or maybe changing divine appointments. Amen. Changing divine appointments. Now, everybody has things that they have to do. We have appointments that we make with the dentist, or maybe appointments we have with the doctor. If someone has a scheduled surgery set up, I'd have to say that many would be glad if the Lord healed them in such a way that that appointment was canceled completely. And there's all kinds of things that we could say that we would love to cancel certain appointments. There may be business circumstances that you have to take care of that are just not pleasant things. You feel like they're kind of a waste of your energy, but you have to do them at the same time. And maybe it would be a delight if all of that was done and you didn't even have to follow through with the appointment. And to say that some of these things are annoying, amen, would say the least, but we get pleasure in canceling some appointments or changing some appointments. Some people love to put off stuff and put off stuff and put off stuff until they hope it changes. But listen, in this verse, we have something that is inevitable, that is going to take place in every person here. There's that awful word, death. And that comes to most everybody. Most everybody that's ever lived has died. I only know of two in the Bible that didn't die. And I'm just going to tell you, death is a very sad thing, a heartbreaking thing. And no matter how much we try to put it off, and maybe we do put it off for a little while by our taking care of our bodies and going to the doctor. The truth is, unless Jesus comes, everybody here is going to go by the way of the grave. I know that's kind of a damper, isn't it? It's kind of a sad thing to think about this morning, but it's the truth. It is appointed unto men once to die. And then there's that word that should make everyone tremble, and if it doesn't make you tremble, it's a more fearful thing than death. Because the Bible says, now listen to me, the Bible says that there's an appointment with judgment as well. There's an appointment with judgment as well. And I hope that you understand me, that death is a terrifying thing, but if you know anything about God and judgment, or heaven and hell, you realize that there is even something more terrifying than death itself, and it is judgment. And it's very plain right here that we have no control over these appointments. God set them, their divine appointment. They are going to happen, and we truthfully cannot stop them just by ourselves or in and of ourselves. In verse 28, though, and I want you to note here, verse 27, we have two appointments, death and judgment. But in verse 28, we have two appearings of Christ. That first appearing was to take away sin. When Jesus came into this world to bear the sins of many, the Bible says, and to take it away so that people could be delivered from the bad effects of sin. But the second one is when Christ comes, and for those that look for him, there is a salvation in that coming that delivers from death itself. Well, I'm just going to tell you, I really like looking for these two appearings rather than these two appointments. And these two appearings can actually change and maybe even cancel some of these appointments. And so I would like for the Lord to change some divine appointments. Hallelujah, by the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, the two appointments are death and judgment. The two appearings are Christ coming into this world to die for our sins, so that we wouldn't have to bear the judgment of it all. And his second coming is for them that look for him, a salvation and a deliverance from death itself. What a glorious hope that the Church of the Living God has here today. Two appointments and two appearings. But praise God for the appearings. When I said death and judgment, that definitely was something gloomy to think about. That was definitely something heartbreaking to think about. But when I talk about these two appearings of Christ, that's something glorious for people that are truly saved. And so let's talk about these two appointments first, though. Amen. The word appoint means to fix, appoint, or to prepare. It can refer to a meeting arranged ahead of time. I'm just telling you, God has arranged a meeting ahead of time, and he has the say-so as to when this appointment is kept. We have no choice as to whether we will attend it or not. God has fixed it, and we have no alternative. God appointed death. God appointed judgment. God said it, and that is the settling of it. Amen. The appointment of death comes, amen, in an unexpected manner to all of us. I have a feeling that even sometimes folks that linger in illness many days, amen, it seems to shock the family when all of a sudden the last breath is drawn, and that family member goes on to their eternal reward. But sometimes people talk about death as being an ending. We see here that death is not an ending, not whatsoever. There is something after death. There is something that takes place after death, and folks will be very conscious of it. It is not a time where folks go to sleep and are not conscious of anything, but there is a separation of that inner person from the body. And I realize the body can go back into the dust from which it was made, but the spirit and soul of man is going to either go to heaven for eternal joys and blessings that are indescribable, or that soul will go to hell, amen, to endure torments and sorrow and fears, amen, and guilt and pain that is indescribable. There is no alternative. People are going to die, and people are going to live somewhere for all eternity and never leave heaven and never leave hell. It is an unchangeable destination once that someone has died. I remember back, amen, when that Challenger capsule exploded and they were having vigils praying for the souls of those astronauts, amen, that somehow they might get out of purgatory or something. Brother L.L. Collins preached, amen, on Too Late to Pray. Amen, he said there's people when they die, it's too late to pray for them. You can't pray them out of purgatory. Amen, they are either in heaven or they're in hell. There is no chance of salvation after someone dies. Their decision is met right there. Death separates the inner person from the body, but it also separates that person, amen, from this world, and this world is the place that people can get saved in. This world is the place that folks can trust Christ in. And after that, it's over. The decision is made. The decision is final. I have to admit, I've seen some people get pretty frightened on a message on hell, amen, and come to the altar. And even though they were frightened, I fear as though they did not truly, completely pray through like they should, because they did not continue in serving the Lord. But my friends, there is a hell that's so frightening that I'm sure that people would, if they had another chance, run to the altar. But then it's too late. Then it's too late. They have a concern just like the rich man did for even folks that's still alive. It's too late for me, he said in so many words, but would you send Lazarus back to tell my brothers about this terrible place? Oh, I feel such a great desire to get this message across to you here this morning. And it separates people from opportunity and chance right now. Amen. But he understood, the rich man understood, there were still some people that had an opportunity. There was still some people that had a chance. And he was wanting his brothers to get another time to pray. Well, here this morning, you may have been fooling around with sin. It may even surprise us or shock us who has been dabbling in sin here this morning that really needs to pray through. But God in his mercy is trying to stir somebody up and let them realize there's some divine appointments. You will not have any control about when this happens, but it will happen, my friend. And your destination will be sealed right then. It's not sealed today. It's your opportunity. It's your chance. No, a dead man has not raised to preach to you, but Jesus raised from the dead to keep you from going to hell here this morning. And I'm preaching to you that message, how there is hope. Hey, man, can I tell you, God fixes the appointment. In Job 14 and 5, amen, says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Job 14 and 14 says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. He spoke of an appointment. He spoke of a time. He spoke of days that were determined, and they were determined by God. Psalm 90 and 12, the psalmist said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Oh, I'll just ask you, amen, are you going to die? Yeah. Unless Jesus comes, I understand. So when is that going to happen? Are you going to be 13 when you die? Or 20 when you die? Are you going to be 25 when you die? Or 50 when you die? You don't know? Really? You don't know when you're going to die. Is that right? I'll just tell you, we better take the days that we know we're going to live. I'm alive right now. Seems like I've got right now. That's it. If I'm going to number my days, I guess I got one. I better make the most of it, hadn't I? And I'll tell you what, if you're here today dabbling in sin, you say, well, I got plenty of days. Hey, there's only one day you've got for sure. That's right now. Amen. Now, I know we only have one life, and I know that's for sure. But we don't know how many days we have except the one that we're living right now. So if you have been dabbling in sin, you need to make things right with God today and harden not your hearts. Amen. Because today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Amen. So we got to number our days. It is appointed to all men. In other words, I want to ask you, how many folks know of young people that's died? Or how many know of older, healthy people that died? Yeah? And every age in between. It's all men. How many know of rich that have died and poor that have died and good-looking, whatever else, you know, what other categories? Everybody. All men. You know, it's interesting. You get to reading some of them old genealogies. I understand, hey man, that there was a great time of in the Bible where that there was great numbers of years that people lived. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And the days that Adam lived were 930 years." That's a long life. Isn't it? 930 years. Woo! It says, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And then all the days of his son were 905 years, and he died. And then his son, he lived 910 years, and he died. And his son lived 895 years, and he died. He's just a young man, and he died. You know what? Even during the days and the age where that people lived longer before the flood, death still ruled. And you know, after the flood, we could name lots of names. And we look around here and there's places that are empty here this morning, and we could say, this Sister Vivian Stewart lived 98 years. And I thought for sure we'd have her 100th birthday, because she was in pretty good health, really. But unexpectedly, the 98-year-old lady died. Well, we've had younger deaths that break our hearts, and I'm not going to bring up every death, but I'm just, the point that I'm making here this morning is it's inescapable in a certain sense. Amen. It's appointed unto all men. It's a very frequent thing that has happened. Amen. And it is an appointment that takes place. And after that, just as sure as death, just as sure as people die, there is a judgment that follows after that. Now the word judgment in this scripture, amen, means just what the translators translated it. But there were times it was also used of sick people where they made a turn for the better or worse. Amen. It was used in the Greek language, the original language this scripture was written in. It was used for a turn for the better or worse. Now, let me tell you something. People die and they make a turn for the better or worse. That's the way it is. Amen. People die and they go to heaven. That's a turn for the better. I don't care how rich and famous or how nice everything is. If you're saved and you die and go to heaven, that's a turn for the better. But I'm also going to tell you, it's a turn for the worst. Amen. If you've got everything, amen, as bad as it is in this world for some people, if they die and go to hell, it's a turn for the eternal worst. Oh, yes, it is. It's a terrible tragedy. Amen. People say, well, they've watched their loved one there on the bed and oh, how they felt for them and how they wept for them and as they heaved and sighed and rolled in the bed in agony. And they say, when they draw their last breath, at least they're not suffering. Let me tell you something. It would be better to roll in agony in that bed than to be in hell. If that person died and went to hell, it was a turn for the worst. Oh, God, help us right now. You see, there is a judgment. Amen. There is a judgment that takes place. People either go to heaven or hell. There is a judgment of the lost called the Great White Throne Judgment that happens when they're resurrected. There's a judgment over works for the Christian at the judgment seat of Christ. But I'm telling you, we're all judgment bound. Amen. And I'm glad that we can have our sins dealt with before we get to the judgment, my friends. There's going to be a judge. And I realize some people may be in contempt of court in this world, but the judge that sits upon that throne in the book of Revelation, it says his countenance is so great and bright that the heavens and earth flee away at his presence. Do you understand? There ain't going to be no back talking this judge. There ain't going to be no cussing this judge. There ain't going to be no angry outburst in this court. Hey man, every knee's going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus was Lord and is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I don't care if they're the devil himself. Everybody's going to bow on the day of judgment. Oh, God, help me. Amen. There's a judgment and there's a judge with nail-pierced hands sitting on the throne. For all judgment is given to the Son, the Bible says. Nail-pierced hands. Hey, well, Lord, I just couldn't make it. And he holds out that hand and says, you mean I didn't pay a complete price for you to make it? What an insult to Calvary. What an insult to who I am and what I did for you. What an insult to all of my blood and sweat and tears and even my death upon the cross. What an insult. I just tell you right now, you're not going to be able to make your case. You might talk to somebody that sympathizes with you down here, and they say, well, we understand, but I'm just going to tell you, Jesus paid the complete price for you to be free from your sins. And there's a judge that's sitting on the throne, and there's a judgment that will be for all people. Amen. There's a judgment that will be upon all people that are lost. Amen. And it'll be, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Oh, I just want to tell you that these are two appointments. It is a fixed time. When Paul was speaking on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, he began to preach to those very wise people, pagan people that did not know the Lord. And he said, and at the times of this ignorance, which he's talking about their idolatry, God winked at,
but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. You understand that just as sure as God raised Jesus from the dead, God has set up a divine appointment to judge this whole world in righteousness. Amen. And just as sure as there's an empty tomb, there's going to be a throne that is filled with his divine glory. Amen. And people will be judged according to whether they accepted or rejected Christ, according to whether they've lived in sin. Amen. And live for the devil, or live for Jesus and live the pure, holy life by faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, there's a judgment coming, and it's an appointed time, and he has given assurance unto all men by raising his son from the dead. I'll tell you something else. God can make demands anywhere he wants to, anytime he wants to. And he says, I demand that you repent. I demand that you repent of your sins. I demand that you turn, amen, and seek me with all your heart. That's my conditions. Because I've got to preach to you. I know it's been pretty serious, and I'm not saying this other isn't serious, but I want to preach to you that just as sure as there's two appointments, amen, there was an appearing, and there will yet be another appearing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, thank God for the past appearing, and thank God for the prophesied future appearing. The writer contrasts the appointments that these people and all of us have with Christ's two appearing for a reason. These two appearings of Christ can change the appointments, amen, that we have with death and judgment. These two appearings of Christ can deliver us from the sting of death, hallelujah, and the fearfulness of the judgment. Let's talk about the first appearing. Amen. Jesus invaded this world as a little baby. Heaven came to earth, wrapped, amen, in human flesh, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Amen. God with us was his name, Emmanuel. And he walked through this world. It got dust on his feet, and calluses on his hands. Amen. Paid taxes. Amen. Resist sin. Fought the devil face to face. Had to deal with hypocrisy, rejection, heartache, tears, and crying just like a man did. Had to grow up like a boy. Faced all the temptations you teenagers face. Hallelujah. Faced every temptation that a 20-year-old faces. Hey, man, he did it all. And he won the victory over every bit of it. Oh, I'm preaching to you about his first appearing. He appeared in this world. He lived a sinless life, the Son of the living God. He raised the dead, healed the sick, calmed storms, amen, rebuked sin, cast out devils, lifted up his Father, amen, and brought the presence of God everywhere he went. Woo! Oh, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Hey, man, I'm just going to tell you, he appeared. He appeared. You know, I'm glad he appeared. I know the disciples was glad he came walking on the waters that day. He appeared in the storm. I know that Legion was glad when he got out of the boat and appeared on the seashore. Woo! Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah, what a wonderful appearance when Jesus showed up at Lazarus's tomb and said, roll away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. Oh, what a wonderful appearance when blind Bartimaeus cried out, amen, and he knelt there before him, and Jesus opened up his eyes, and the first face he saw was Jesus. Woo. He blinked his eyes and opened up. There he was. Glory to God. And I tell you, that was a wonderful appearance. And even though I have to admit it's a heartbreaking thing in some ways, amen, but I'm so thankful, amen, that he appeared in those glorious ways. And I'm glad to see him. Amen. I hope you understand, I'm not glad he suffered, but I'm very glad and thankful that I see him wrestling in prayer and with sin. Amen. In the Garden of Gethsemane, until his capillaries bursted and he sweated great drops of blood. How glad, amen, that he took stripes on his back for my healing, and he took wounds in his hands and feet and side so that I could be saved and delivered from my sins. I'm glad he was bruised for my iniquities. I'm glad he appeared between heaven and earth, hung upon a cross. I hope you understand, I'm not glad he suffered. I'm glad he did it for me. I'm glad he did it for you. He appeared on the cross amidst the black, dark sky. Amen. Feeling the pain and suffering of the cross, but feeling the wrath of God. He did it for us. He did it for all of us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise his holy name. I'm sorry, I can't hardly preach this without praising him, because I'm in love with Jesus Christ that appeared the first time to take away the sin of many. Hallelujah. Oh, he died on a cross. And they wound him and wrapped him up and put spices on him and put him in a tomb. But oh, thank God forever. Thank God in heaven. He did not stay in that tomb, but he raised from the dead. Listen, that shows me there's a judgment coming. But that shows me God's a merciful God. Amen. God raised him from the dead so that we could be saved. Amen. I'm glad for that appearing out of that tomb when he appeared to Mary, when he appeared to the disciples. Oh, what a glorious appearing. You know what that means? Really, it means that all could be saved, but here it said many. You know why many? Because even though he paid the price for all, not all will accept him. Amen. And that's what breaks my heart. Amen. For even here today, there are many, but not all, I don't think. It should be all. It should be everybody. Oh, are you glad for that first appearing? Because you see, that first appearing took away sin. Whew. And because it took away sin, it took away the result of the sting of death. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:55, Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope there's a thanks be to God in your heart here today. Amen. If you're saved, there ought to be a thanks be to God that comes out every once in a while. Yeah, I preached about death, but I just can't preach about death because, you see, death for the Christian has the stinger taken out of it. Yeah, the strength of sin is the law, but the sting of death is sin. And since Jesus took our sin and took it away on Calvary, I want to preach to you and tell you the sting is gone for the child of the living God. Glory to God. Oh, I tell it a lot at funerals. Amen. I don't know if I've told it in church here or not, but I like that little story about that family that was driving, you know, out on a nice spring day. Had the windows rolled down, enjoying the countryside and the freshness of the air. And all of a sudden, a bee flew in the car. And the kids were screaming, and mama was screaming, and everybody was trying to keep it away. And all of a sudden, the dad reached up and grabbed the bee and held it in his hand for a little bit, and then let it go and started buzzing around again. And everybody started screaming and hollering. He said, wait a second, you don't have to scream. I said, wait, but Dad, hey man, don't you see this thing buzzing around? It's still flying. He said, that's all right, let it fly. So I got a stinger right here in my hand. It can't sting you. Hey man, all it can do is fly around and bug you. Well, glory be to Jesus. I want to tell you, for the child of God, I realize death, there can be some suffering physically, but there is no spiritual sting for the child of God that's been forgiven. The sting is in Jesus' hand, and you have nothing to worry about, but you have everything to rejoice. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, God. Woo. That's that first appearing. Amen. Hey, Brother Doyle, would you get Genesis 5 for me again? I turned away from it. You remember? Adam lived 900-something years, and he died, and his son lived 900-something years, and he died, and his son lived 900-something years, and he died. And then on down the line, somewhere along the line, hey man, one of them died as a youngster at 800-something years. Hey man, but he still died. But in Genesis 5 and 21, hey man, Brother Doyle, would you read that for me, 5 and 21? Here we have another fella. Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. So he lived 365 years. Boy, he's really a youngster. Now what's it say? And he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In that chapter where so-and-so lived, and they died, lived, and they died, lived, and they died, he lived, and he lived. Hallelujah. He lived and he just kept on living. Hallelujah. He got to walking with God. And one black preacher said, one day he's walking with God and God said, hey, it's closer to my house than for you to turn around and go back to your house. Why don't you just come on home with me tonight? Hallelujah. And that's what Enoch did. And Enoch, hey man, did not see death, for he was translated, the Bible says, in the book of Hebrews. Hey, this second appearing that I'm preaching to you about can cancel an appointment. The first one canceled our appointment in a certain manner in judgment, because you don't have to be judged for your sin when Jesus took your sin away. But I'm going to tell you this. This second appearing can cancel an appointment for the church. There's going to be some, amen, that are alive and remain. They'll be caught up. It'll be just like Enoch in a world of dying. All my family's died. Amen. Hey, everybody's died. Ages and years and thousands of years, people have died. And so the genealogy of mankind will continue until one day the trumpet blast, amen, is going to make an exception. And it's not just going to be one man. It's going to be the whole church of the living God will be caught up. Oh, yeah. I don't know about you, but I hope that God just cancels my death appointment with a trumpet blast. Amen. I'd just love for us to not have any more funerals. But how should this affect us? It says, unto them that look for him. Are you looking for the Lord? That's a condition right there, isn't it? Amen. You got to be born again and looking for him. He will appear the second time unto salvation. Now, what is that? Listen, when somebody prays and gets saved, they're saved right there. But there's a future redemption. There's a completion of salvation when the trumpet sounds. Between your prayer at the altar and the trumpet blast, you got to continue in the faith. If you don't continue in the faith, you lose your salvation. Amen. And so what do we have to do? I'll tell you, we gotta look back to his first appearing to cancel our sins' judgments. And we gotta look forward to that future appearing to stay right with God and say, I want to be ready when he comes again, because that's possible that he could cancel my future doctor's appointment, whatever. He could cancel my future. Amen. He could cancel my future appointment with a mortician. He could cancel my future graveside funeral or whatever. Any type of funeral services could be canceled with a trumpet blast. Yeah. Yes, he did come. He died and rose from the dead. And just as sure as there's an empty tomb, Jesus is going to come again. And you can be with him in the clouds when he comes again. There should be comfort for every Christian, because even at our graves, we don't sorrow like others. There can be a celebration. You know as well as I do, we have felt the Holy Ghost in funeral services right here at Fairlane. And you know why it was. I mean, I know the Holy Ghost comforts us, but we have this consolation. We can have a reunion again. What a great comfort. In fact, we can have a celebration, I believe. You know, I think the church of years gone by, they sung about heaven, preached about heaven, shouted about heaven. It's hard to get people happy about heaven anymore. I mean, if you got to preaching on how to prosper, I mean, they might shout you down some places. I'll tell you, I want to go to heaven. Oh, glory be to Jesus. This is not my heaven. Amen. I got a hope for something beyond this world, friend. Amen. And it can bring revival, because in all reality, the Bible says, amen, he that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. There's conviction over sin because of the second coming. There's a life of holiness that is inspired because of the second coming, and sinners ought to be getting ready by trusting in his first coming. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming again. Could we all stand here this morning? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and oh dear Lord, I'm praying that you'd please help us to get the ambition to go to heaven, to get a longing to go to heaven, and help us to love these appearings of Christ and long for these appearings of Christ. Oh, I plead the blood against every distraction and everything, for I know in mercy you have called people to repent and believe. Here, Lord, I fear that there are some that have covered sin and it may be exposed when the trumpet blasts. Amen. What they have been covering. Lord, in your mercy, you have called to them today to repent and believe. Amen. Get people's attention here this morning. God, I'm giving the trumpet blast of the message of God's word. And oh, dear God, I'm praying for your mercy to get a hold of someone's heart before they meet the appointment with death and judgment. And even if the coming of the Lord would catch them unawares, Lord, lift up thy blessed Son. Convict of sin here this morning. And bring people to the judgment bar where they could see their need of salvation before it's too late, before the clock, amen, has struck death and struck judgment, and your appointment time has come. Oh, in Jesus' name, please move. I give you the praise. Our heads are bowed. I believe God in his mercy has been calling. Brother Stacy spoke when Sister Sonia sung, when the tongues and interpretation went forth. There's people here that need mercy. I plead with you. Don't cover your sins. Just bring them to God and say, here, I've done wrong. I need forgiveness. I need deliverance. I need the power of God to change me. I need the same move of the Spirit that brought Jesus out of death to bring me out of my sin. I trust what Jesus did on the cross, and I'm turning from sin to God with all my heart. Is there anybody that want to come to this altar and pray and say, Brother Lloyd, in the light of death, in the light of judgment, in the light of the second coming, and also in the light of his first appearing, his death upon the cross, I want to come and get that mercy. Would you come here today? Would you come here today? Listen, if you prayed before and you backslid, and what I mean by backslid, you went away from God. You need to come and get right with God here today. Is there anybody that's saying the light of these appointments I have, death and judgment in the light of the second coming of Jesus? Oh, I want to get things right in the light of his first appearing where he died and took away my sins. I want to be right. Is there anybody? Amen. I appreciate Brother Danny coming. He got a need in his life he wants to express to God. That's wonderful. Is there somebody else? Say, I want God. I want him in my life. God bless you. Amen. Just pray right here. So happy. God bless you. Amen. Some of you sisters coming. Is there anybody else? God bless Mike. Is there somebody else? Just say, I need that mercy. I need to be saved in light of death, in light of judgment, in light of his second coming, in light of what he did for me when he died on the cross. I want to be saved. Is there anybody? Oh, is there anybody? Anyone else? Anyone else? I'd like for us all to come around these altars. Please pray for somebody. And if you're not sure, I'll tell you, you ought to search your heart and ask God to search it. Because there can be a cancellation of those appointments by the grace of God. He can cancel those appointments. Glory to God. Come on, let's all have a season of prayer. Let's ask the Lord to move in a special way. Oh, let's pray that God would help us. All.